سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الرحمن علم القرآن، خلق الإنسان وعلمه البيان. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الله إن every chapter that we see of the Quran, except for Surah Al-Bara'at, you see that he begins his mention and he begins his name in describing himself. Every chapter that we start with starts with the name of Allah, and he describes himself with two names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. And this is throughout the Quran you will see, and even when he speaks about his hamd and says Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, he says Ar-Rahman and Rahim. These are two names that Allah describes himself with. And we read this every day. As Muslims, we must read it every day, many times. So when we read it, we should also understand what it means. What does Rahman mean? What does Rahim mean? What is the meaning of these two words? So that we can understand what we are saying and how Allah is describing himself and how Allah wants us to know him. How does he want us to know him? He says, listen, know me through these two names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Both come from the word Rahmat, which means mercy, blessings, compassion. Both come from the word Rahmat. But Rahman is mubalagha, meaning Rahman is that Rahmat which is big and immense. Rahim is istimrar. In other words, Rahim is that mercy and that compassion that is constant and ongoing. You see, Rahman is the mercy that is big and great, big in quantity. Rahim is that mercy which is ongoing, does not cease, does not stop. You see, what happens usually is that there are some people, you see, that who give big. When you ask them for a donation, they give big. But not all the time. But there are some people who give small, right, but they give all the time. You see, Now, for example, you know, we want to make a masjid, so ours is a small masjid, you know, just one group has a small masjid. So they go around and they said, you know, let's ask the people for donation. They go around and asking people. Some gave 100, some gave 200, 1,000, 2,000, this and that. They said, why don't you go and ask that guy also? I heard he's doing well. So, you know, one of the representatives, he said, okay, I'll go to him and talk to him. So he goes there. He says, listen, we are building this masjid, we're a small community and we need this and that. He goes inside, he writes a check and brings it out for $100,000. That's right. Now, that guy sees the $100,000 and obviously he is exhilarated that he's going to go back and tell everyone, look what I got. $100,000. So he comes back to his group and says, Alhamdulillah, I got $100,000. And everyone sends salawats. Now, they got this donation, this big donation. So now what happened is that I hear about the donation and mine is a big masjid. It is like the main masjid, Jami. Right? In the city. It's the big masjid. And we are also building. And we need donations also. So I heard that you got 100,000 for your small masjid. I said, you know, Alhamdulillah, let me go to him now. You know? So now I got the address, you know. Right way to go. So, you know what? Okay, this guy gives big, so let me go there. Now I go there and I ask this brother, so, you know, Alhamdulillah, you know, I heard that you are very generous. Right? And you do give big donations and ours is a big project and you know this many people will pray there and this many people come there and this and that and you will get all the reward for it. So we want you to donate to the cause. So he hears all my plays and all my talk and after that he goes inside and writes a check for 5,000. I look at this check and say, oh, what's this? Donation, you ask for a donation, I give you a donation. He said, but that other masjid, that was a small masjid, you gave them 100,000. Right? You gave them 100,000, and we are a big masjid, and we have a bigger project, and you're giving us 5,000. What's that for? He said, oh, wait a minute, listen. At the time he came, I had the money. So I gave it. Now I don't have it. I can't keep on giving 100,000 all the time. If I do that, I'll be asking for donations soon. You understand that? So now what happens is that, you see, he gave a big donation, but you see, he can't give it all the time. You see that? He can't give it all the time. So now you go to another person, you see that there are other people who give small donations. Who give small donations. Everyone who goes there, they'll give $100. Anyone. You go there, $100. You ask for something, $100. They will not say no to anyone. They will give to everyone. But every time they give, it's only $100. You see that? They will only give $100, but they will give it to everyone. This guy gives $100,000, but not to everyone. You see that? There are some who give big, but they can't give all the time. There are some who give all the time, but they give small. Now Allah wants us to understand the difference between all the people who give and Him. That's why He never used Rahman alone nor Rahim alone. He says, I'm Rahman, I give big, and I'm Rahim, I always give big. Salawat
Allahumma salam wa ali Muhammad.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
So you see what it means. This is my friend, understand. Allah's mercy, when He speaks about, He says, Ar-Rahman and Rahim. Rahman means something that is big. Rahim means something that is ongoing, everlasting. So His mercy is big, and it's also everlasting. He He will not say, there are other people, they are afraid of losing their bank balance. They are afraid of losing their money, their treasure. But Allah is saying that I am not worried about that. I am not worried about that. He says, لِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is the treasures of the heavens and the earth. To Him belongs all the treasures. He has the keys to all the treasures. He is not afraid that if He gives Musa too much knowledge, He won't have enough for Isa. You see that? He is not afraid that if He gives Isa too much, He won't have enough for others. Or for example, if He gives too much to Harun or Fir'aun, then if a mu'min asks, he'll run out. You see? To Him, He will give to everyone, and He gives big also. The issue with Allah is that Allah wants us to recognize that He is not afraid of giving. Others might be afraid of losing if they give, but Allah is not afraid of losing. That's why Rahman comes before Rahim comes. His giving is big and His giving is everlasting. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
So now, when we understood this much, my brothers, just as an introduction I gave this to you, now understand, why did Allah put Rahman before Rahim? Everywhere you read it, you will see He's Rahman and then Rahim. You never read in the Quran, He's Rahim and then Rahman. You see, the issue is, Allah wants to make everyone understand that the major blessing is given before all the smaller blessings come later. You see, when the major blessing is given, when the major mercy comes down, right? Then all the small things will come down. You know, I mean, at first you get the major blessing. Then all the small ones will come. You know, for example, it happens everywhere. Now what do you tell a man who has dreamed that I'm going to have 6 children, and, you know, for example, 18 grandchildren, and I'm going to retire over here with all my grandchildren and this and that. What do you tell that person? You tell him, get a wife first. And without the wife, all those dreams will not come. Right? At first, the major blessing has to come. Then all the smaller ones will come later. Right? Now, before those blessings will come, you need this major blessing. It's an everything. Now, for example, you want to build a building. For example, you want to say, for example, before you even build a building, you're saying, I'm going to rent it to this guy, and I'm going to rent it to that guy. And first, build the building. When you build the building, all of that will happen. All the other things will come. My friends, understand this. How Allah wants us to recognize this. That before anything happens, you need the first major blessing. Allah is saying all the wealth that you accumulated, all the money that you have, all the accounts that you have opened, all the respect that you have gained, all the friends that you have, all of these are smaller blessings that came later. At first, Allah gave you the greater blessing. He gave you the greater blessing so that you can appreciate Allah. Recognize this. Allah is saying, before you have your accounts and bank balances and money and wealth and friends and mother and father, all these things, the bigger blessing that He gave you before that is your life itself.
Yes.
You see that? Your life itself. He gave you your existence. He gave you your life. So that now, when you have a life, all these things are useful. You see, when you have a life, all these things are useful. If you do not have the life, then what is the use of that money? What is the use of that? What is the use? Nothing will be useless. It's your life first that Allah gave and said, recognize me, I gave you the life. You see, I gave you this life. This life is bigger than all the blessings that you think that you have. You see, all these things are smaller than that. This is bigger. You see, a lot of people are confused, you know, when they look at the wealth that they have, and sometimes they're confused, is this a bigger blessing, or is life a bigger blessing? Or is existence a bigger blessing? You see, they are confused, and I want everyone to understand this. My friends, gold, jewelry, and all these things, we think they're a blessing. Oh my goodness, you know, this is important. You get all these things. But I want you to understand the importance of life. The importance of life. You see, this gold is worth $900. Right? Maybe more in the morning, I don't know. You can check it out. Right? It's worth $900. Now, my brother, understand this. Gold is worth $900 an ounce. Right? An ounce. And I want you to understand this. Who put that price on gold? Understand this. Who put the price on gold? Who put the price on diamonds? Who put the price on jewelry? Who put the price on wealth? It is you who put the price. You see, if you all die, that gold will lie in that dust. Those diamonds will be in those caves. All that thing that you think is a blessing will be rotting away. It is you who gave value to it. Now understand who's more valuable. That thing that you gave value to, or the one who you are that you are giving value to those things that have no value. You are the ones giving the value. You are more important than those things because you put the value on them. You said this is worth 900, if you gave 900. Understand this. What Allah is saying. Now tell me who's more important. Your life is more important, or those diamonds more important? Your life more important, or that wealth more important? See the difference between the two. Now when you look at the difference, then you will see that all those things that have value have been given value by human beings. They have been given value by him. The one who gives value is more important than that which is being given value. He gave the value.
That's right.
He gave it to you. You are the ones who gave it. So why are you sacrificing yourself for that? You see, that thing which is there, you will die for that which you gave value to. What kind of intelligence is that? I mean, tell me, how intelligent is that you die for something that you gave value to? It was worth nothing. It was lying there for millions of years. Right? The ants would crawl over it. Right? They would not even stand there long. They want to go and search for something useful. They want to search for something useful. And here you are who gave value to this so much that now you have undervalued your own self. See, life is more important than wealth. Now if this example was enough, now let me give it another way. You know? Yeah, the list came out of the richest men in the world. Right? So now what happens is that, you know, whether you're interested in news or not, but that's one clip everyone looks into. Who's on that list? How much does he have? Who's on that list and how much does he have? So now what happens is that one rich guy who has all these things, right? He has a fleet of planes, he has mansions, he has jewelry, he has gold, he has everything, being that rich. He has all of that. Now that person dies. You know, that person dies. His friends, family and friends are crying. They are grieving over his death. Now, I go over there. And like, you know, so, what are you all crying for? Oh, he's gone. I said, so what? And his money's still here. His gold is still here. His jewelry is still here. His business is still here. What are you crying for? Right? But what are you all crying for? Who cares about that? The man has gone.
Subhanallah.
You see that? The man has gone.
That's right.
So now tell me, no one cries if money goes. You see, those people who are rich, you know, in this economic crisis, how much money they lost, no one is, all their, you know, I mean, there's no mourning on that. I mean, no one is grieving for that. Oh, they lost billions of dollars, let's have majlis tonight. You know, no one's grieving for that. But if the man dies, you will see there will be people who cry for him. Right? The man is that life that he had, the man that he is worth more than all the accumulation that he has. The man is worth more than that which he has. You see, this is the reason, my brothers, Allah is saying, He is Rahman, He gave you life before all these smaller things came. He gave you life before these smaller things came so that you appreciate life more.
No.
I want you all to understand how eloquently Allah is saying this. How is He saying this? Understand this. You see, a rich man has a huge mansion, a huge house, and all kinds of luxuries in it. And there's a poor man who has a simple life and a simple place. He's on rent. Not even his own place. Right? Not even his own place. The only thing he owns is the utensils. Right? But you see, now what happens? That rich man is blind and this man can see. You see the difference? All that luxuries he has, but he cannot have the pleasure of seeing them. He has nothing, but whatever he has the pleasure of seeing it. Mm-hmm. If that rich man is deaf, and this simple man, a man of lesser means, a poor man, he can hear, then imagine, who would say the difference, who can see the difference, that rich man, he has all this money, but he doesn't have the pleasure of listening to his children. Mm-hmm. You know? And a man who has ears can have the pleasure of listening to his children. Can have the love of listening to his children. Can you see the difference now? What use is that about? He wished he could have had those eyes that he can see it. He wished that he could have those ears that he can see it. Hear it. My friends, these are blessings of Allah that are primary blessings that Allah speaks of under Rahman.
SubhanAllah.
And then he says, that which is He is Rahim will come. Those are the small blessings that come all the time. And they always come. But you see, these greater blessings we need to see. So now if you understood this, now you see, bigger than life itself is a blessing that Allah gave. You see, when it comes to life, and when it comes to the things like, for example, our sight and our hearing, and these things, mankind still appreciates it. He still appreciates having it. He still appreciates that. You know what I mean? Okay, you don't have eyes. Everyone can appreciate having eyes when they see people who do not have eyes. When you cannot hear or you see a person who's deaf, then you appreciate the hearing that you have. If someone dies, you appreciate the life that Allah has given you still. You know, that appreciation, that value is still there for life. But there's a greater blessing that Allah gave. That you see that no one appreciates nor values. You see? Now understand this. And he says this. And there's one place in the Quran where Allah uses the word, His name, Rahman, not as an attribute, but as His own name. Everywhere you see, Allah uses Rahman as a sifat, an attribute to Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah is Rahman. Meaning, Rahman is the attribute of Allah, adjective of Allah. Right? Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an adjective of Allah. Right? That He's Rahman ar-Rahim. But a place that Allah uses Rahman alone, without using this, without using it as an attribute, but as His name, is when he says Ar-Rahman Allam al-Qur'an wa khalaq al-insan. Surah Ar-Rahman. He starts off as saying Ar-Rahman without saying Allah before it. And this, he changed it, because everywhere you see Allah is mentioned and then Rahman is mentioned. He changed that sunnah here, because now that he has used Rahman, and the reason and the wisdom that he is using Rahman is to note that what is coming after this is the description of his mercy.
Subhanallah! Subhanallah! Subhanallah!
What is coming after this is the expression of my blessings. That's why he said Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman, the beneficent. Now hear what I have to say, what my blessings are. These are the blessings I'm counting for you, one by one. Listen to this. And then afterwards he also says in between, which one of them will you deny? Right? Which one of them will you deny? He said that. Right? Which one of them will you deny? So now he mentions this. Now he starts off. He says, Ar-Rahman, the first blessing, the greatest blessing that you can receive, Allam al-Qur'an, is the knowledge of the Qur'an.
Subhanallah.
You see that? Allah says your life is important. He says, Khalaq al-insan, I created man. You see? But Allah wanted us to know that your life, the importance of your life, is below Allam al-Qur'an.
Yes.
It's below the knowledge of the Qur'an. Knowledge of the Qur'an is above. And this, what you have, life comes later. See this. He mentions by saying Ar-Rahman, the knowledge of the Qur'an. This Qur'an that you have, this knowledge that you have of the Qur'an, this precedes your life. You see, now everyone appreciates and values life, but how many people value the Qur'an? You know, how many people value the Qur'an? How many of you can testify to yourself and to Allah that the Qur'an is not a dust collector at all? Who can testify to Allah that yes, this is something that we use and live by? He's saying that even your life is not worth what the Qur'an is worth. Your life is not worth what the Qur'an is worth. And now, understand, what is this life? He says you appreciate your eyes, you appreciate your hearing, you appreciate your speech, you appreciate your life. But this knowledge that I have given you, how many of you appreciate that? How many of you have put a value on that? My friends, this is the higher objective. This is the higher blessing Allah mentions after Ar-Rahman. He says, Ar-Rahman, Allah al-Qur'an, that the knowledge of Qur'an is there. Is Qur'an our guiding light? You know, we appreciate when we get the guidance from Allah. You know, we appreciate the guidance of Allah. And we appreciate everything that is related to that guidance. You know, everything that is related to that guidance, we appreciate, we value it. Right? So, when Allah gave the message, He sent a messenger with that message. He sent a messenger with that message. So the message is coming, but the messenger will bring it. So to us, the messenger is more than a mailman who brings the post and gives it and goes away. Right? Because, you see, really, the one who brings to you that wealth that cannot be counted, you will kiss his hands. He's not responsible for it. I mean, he didn't bring it, but you will kiss his hands. Right? You will value him and you will appreciate him. Because of the fact that he brought you that message, he brought you that wealth, he brought you that. And not just him, you will appreciate everything that is related to him. Everything that is related to him, you will appreciate. You will appreciate his eyes, you will appreciate his hands, you will appreciate his looks. Because this is the look that brought me everlasting happiness. This is the face that brought me Jannat. This is that hand that gave me the guidance. Right? This is that person who gave it. And everything that is associated with him, you will endear yourself to. You will fall in love with. Right? You know, you'll fall in love with that. Now Allah wants us to recognize one thing here. He says, listen, I'm Ar-Rahman first, and I'm Rahim later. Right? I give the big blessing first, the small blessing later. The problem we had is that we all enjoy the small blessings, but we forget the big blessing that came. You see that? We enjoy everything in this world, eating the fruits of it, enjoy eating the food, doing the things that we can, breathing the air, all these things we enjoy. But you see, Allah says, but you do not appreciate the greater blessing that came before this. He says, you see, my brothers, understand this very carefully. Alameen, the word Alameen means ma siwallah, what is other than Allah. Everything other than Allah is called Alameen. You see that? And Allah wanted us to recognize through that formula I gave you, Ar-Rahman and Rahim. Now you put these two together. He's saying, listen, you think Alameen is a greater blessing. You see, Alameen came later, but my greater blessing came before. Before I made Alameen, I made sure I made Rahmatan lil Alameen.
Subhanallah! Subhanallah! Wa ala Muhammad!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad!
That mercy that is going to come to Alameen, that Muhammad that is going to come to this world, I created him before and I created the Alameen later. So that you know, my Rahmaniyat comes before, my Rahimiyat comes later. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
So two things that we have, Allah is saying are the greater blessings. One that is more important than your life. The other that is more important than the Alameen. That which is more, that is greater than the Alameen is that Noor of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. And that which is more important than your life is the Quran and the Message. These two things that we have. My friends, understand this. Now we have this. And now what do we do with this? How do we deal with this? We have the Quran. It is more important than the life. Allah said. Do we regard it as that? Then, if you know the difference, now you will appreciate the example that Imam Khomeini gave us. Now you will appreciate this example. When his doctor told him, do not read the Quran, you're going to lose your eyes. He says, if I cannot read the Quran, I do not want these eyes. You see, I do not need these eyes. The only reason I need these eyes is to read the Quran. That's why, because there is nothing worthwhile watching in this dunya than this Quran. There's nothing worthwhile. What am I going to watch? What are these eyes for? If I cannot read the Quran with it. You see, understand what ideology is giving us. Right? That these eyes are not as important as the Quran is. This life is not as important as the Quran is. So now when he showed us this and gave us guidance, then we are not those people who look at the Prophet and say, he was just a mailman, he gave the message and went.
That's right.
We are not those people. Just like we, when we look at the Prophet, we endear ourselves to his family. And say that, no, you know, we will endear ourselves to his family. We will respect them and honor them just like Allah wanted us to. Because they remind us of guidance. So now when Imam Khomeini came and revived Islam, when he came and revived Islam, we are not those people who are going to say that, no, we just revived Islam. You know, no. Though even though his wife, just like you see, the wife of the Prophet helped the Prophet in the times of hardships. Really, it was the wife of Imam Khomeini who stood behind him in all the hardships that he went through. Really, she was the one who stood behind him, was firm. Truly, you know, Imam Khomeini was great because he was the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. Right? He was the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. He was great. You know, what made him, what added to his greatness was the fact that his wife was there behind him. Really. You know, this is something, you know, that you need to understand. And then, you know, I really, you need to wonder if instead of Khadija, if some other one was there.
We would have Islam.
How far Islam would have spread? Well, understand this. You know, really, it was Khadija who was there supporting the Prophet, giving whatever she had for his commission and cause, giving what she had in his love, right? And sacrificing herself, you know, in such a way, so that the mission that her husband came for can be established. And doing it in such a way that Allah says that whatever Khadija did, I will relate that to myself. I relate that to myself and said, right, that we found you. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. We found you wanting and poor, and we made you wealthy. You were poor, you did not have much means, but Muhammad, we made you wealthy. Allah, when did you give to Muhammad? When did you give to Muhammad? What did you give to Muhammad? You did not give any jewelry, you did not give any gold, you did not give anything. What did you give? You just gave Khadija.
Subhanallah.
You gave Khadija, and hence to us, when we remember her, our salam goes to Khadija.
Subhanallah.
Our salam goes to Khadija, who would give everything in the way of Islam. And when she died, she did not have a kafan to put on her. So, she does not have a cloth that she can buy. She does not have enough money to buy a cloth that she can put on herself. You know, this is the sacrifice that she has given for Islam. You know, and this is the reason that when we look back at those people who sacrificed for Islam, when we look back at those people who sacrificed for Islam, that's why we endear ourselves to them. Because they are the examples Allah gave us, so that we can emulate those examples. And we can be like those examples. This is a lesson for every husband and wife here. And those wives that are there, they should know that that husband which is struggling for the cause of Allah, then it is their job to support them, to be behind them. To, you know, this is the reason why Allah says, why we have a hadith from the Prophet that says, that the greatest thing a man receives after accepting Islam is a Muslim wife. Is a Muslim wife who defends him while he's in his house, who respects him while he's in his house, and who defends him while he's not in the house. This is, my brothers, this is a lesson for us. This is a lesson for us that we need to see. Now we need to look at the example of the wife of Imam Khomeini and say that just like we, complete strangers here, we are complete strangers to him. We, complete strangers, just because of her iman and her effort, just like we are honoring her here because she supported the cause of her husband. Just imagine this. That if you support the cause of your husbands, that they struggle for the sake of Islam, just like that, you will be respected and remembered forever to come. If there is respect that you want, if you want to be remembered by believers, then do that which Allah has asked you to do and support the husband in the cause of Islam. And he struggles for Allah, and he struggles for Islam, and support him so that he gets the work done for the cause of Allah. Then you know what? Just like people will remember your husband, they will remember you for your sacrifice. Just like we say to the Messenger of Allah, may Allah's blessings and peace be upon you. We say the same thing to Khadija, that may the blessings of peace of Allah be upon you.
That's right.
I haven't had any ziyarat about the otherwise.
That's right.
I haven't read any ziyarat or dua about the wife. Every time we say about Khadija, we say, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon us.
Subhanallah.
Every imam said that. Right? Even the Prophet said that. The issue is, my brothers and sisters, from here we see, what does it mean, right, to be behind someone? Because Allah wanted the men to go out and fight for the cause of Islam. But if they go out and struggle and fight, then it is the wives that have to support them. They have to bear the hardships. They have to bear the hardships that goes in life. Why do you think Allah has made such a great position for women for struggling in this fact? You know, this is something that they must do. If they can understand the example of Imam Khomeini, if they can understand the example of the wife of the Prophet and the wife of Imam Khomeini, then they should learn from this day what it means to be behind your husband, to be there and encouraging him to fight in Allah's way. To be his back and defend him for fighting in Allah's way. This is what is going to make you great and your husband great. Greatness is achieved when this happens. This is the way to achievement. Right? And it requires sacrifice. Just like, for example, men sacrifice their lives when they go out and challenge batil. It is hard. It's not easy. What Imam Khomeini went through? You know, what Imam Khomeini went through, really? Imam Khomeini said, you know, Ahmad Khomeini, he wrote and he said that, his son Ahmad Khomeini said, you know, my father was ready to fight against any enemy that came from abroad. He was ready to fight against any enemy. Nothing scared him. Nothing shook him. But the struggle he had to do with his own people. Those people of his own clan, of his own tribe, I mean his own amama, those who were the amama. Right? Those who called themselves ulama. Right? Those who called themselves ulama. The things he had to put up with them, that destroyed his heart. That broke his heart. I mean, of all the people to understand an Islamic revolution, it would be the ulama. But the first one to oppose it was the ulama. You know? And the thing is that, again, with this example in mind, really, my friends, you know, we need to understand, I mean, just like that, how hard was it for him? You know, there were times, it is said, that the students in the house would make jokes about Imam Khomeini. Right, when he was there. You know, would say things about Imam Khomeini. So, in their houses, through the alims, right, his son was making wudu. His son, Ahmad Khomeini, was making wudu. Right? And one of them told the other one who was there, someone, we don't even know the names. He told the other one, you know, that you need to wash the water can because he's the son of a kafir. Right? It's najis. My friend, understand this. And then the other one said, well, no, his mother is a Muslim. My friends, going through this heartbreak of your own people saying this to you. For what? Because you want to raise the flag of Islam against Batil? Against falsehood? Right? Against those people who are zalim? Right? To say the things that are right and that are truthful? Whose way is that? Isn't that the way of our imams? Isn't this the way of the imams to fight up against, to stand up against Batil? Right? So, the thing that he's doing, the thing that he did, was strange for them. So strange they called him a kafir. They called him a kafir. He had to go through that. His wife also bore the same thing. You know, you remember the time of Imam Ali? That Imam Ali would come back, he would be sad. Fatima heard that people were not giving salam to him. So she asked Ali, is it true that the people are not saying salam to you? He said, what can I say? If that was the case, I would be happy. Now the situation is that I give salam, they do not reply back. I mean, look at similarities. Now I want to quote a hadith that you can go home with. And I want to quote a hadith that you can go home with and you can reflect on it. This hadith is from the Prophet of Allah. It is hadith from the Prophet of Allah. He says, and pay attention to this hadith. He says, "Kana al-Islam bada'a ghariban, sayaudu ghariban, tuba lil-ghuraba." He says, Islam, when it came, it was strange. See, when it came to the world, it was strange. So what's this? What is this? Right? He says, Sayyaudu ghariban, it will also become, soon it will become strange. It will become strange. Before it was strange to the kuffar, now it will become strange to the Muslims. Now it will become strange to the Muslims. Now when we speak about Iman, they say, well, what are these people talking about? When we stand up against Batil, they say, what's all this for? Imagine this. What's all this for? My friends, this is, he's saying, Kana Islam bada ghariban. Islam began strange. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا. It will become strange. It will soon become strange to the Muslims. Then he says that yes, it will become strange. No one will know what you're saying. No one will understand what you're saying. The Muslims, you will tell Islam to them, it will be strange for them. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You see, what is this? What's going on? It'll be strange for them. It'll be so strange for Muslims themselves. So now when that is the case, now you see, what do we do then? Now the Prophet said one thing and left it for us. He says, you will be strange. You will be like strangers to Muslims. You are the true Muslims, but you are strangers to Muslims. You are the believers, but you are strangers to those who accept Islam. They will look at you and say, these other people are strange. Right? They will sell you to the kuffar. They say, this is not Islam. They'll sell you to the kuffar. This is how it's going to be, right? Then he says, you will be strangers then. Then he says, فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. He says, how lucky are those strangers?
Subhanallah.
How lucky are those strangers who will look strange in those times? How lucky are you? How fortunate are you that you look strange in the times when people will look at your Islam and say, this is, you know, doesn't make sense. What is this? My friends, this is, my friends, just take this hadith and see it for yourself what it means. And how we have become. And now, when we speak of Islam, we are like strange. When Imam Khomeini came, he is strange. He revived Islam, he is strange. What is this? You see, my friends, everyone, I wish I'll take some more of your time right now, just to give this example. I want you to understand this, right? In the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we had this situation there, right? And you see how Imam Ali was being treated, right? What happened to him, right? To him, how he was put away for all these years, right? He was put away 25 years, he wasn't there. Now a time came when he is saying things and the people do not recognize it, right? The people do not recognize it. Now when we look at the times that we are living in, when Imam Khomeini came to revive the same old Islam, right? The same old Islam, he didn't bring anything new. He didn't bring anything new, right? He brought the same old Islam, right? Now it's strange. Now it's strange. It is so strange that now people looked at that and everyone was there. Now, after all the hardships Imam Ali had gone through, now he became the Khalifa. He became the Khalifa. Right? Everyone came to him, made him the Khalifa. So when they made him the Khalifa, the people who, when they used to see Imam Ali walking on the street, would go the other way because they did not want to meet him or see him. And let him do it. Right? They would go the other street. Now everyone was saying that Ali is our master. Ali is our leader. He's a Khalifa. Now he became everyone's leader. Right? He became everyone's leader. And everyone said, he's our leader. He's our master. Ali. We are with Ali. Everyone saying we are with Ali. His companions became bewildered. They said, what's going on? Just few years ago, the people used to ignore him, used to say all kinds of things about him. Right? They used to say all kinds of lies about him. Now, suddenly these people have changed. These people have changed and, right now, they're like, we are with Ali all the way. Right? This and that. So you see, my friends, when a person when a person has the rule in his hand, then everyone likes him. Because he's the ruler. Right? You go against him, you lose. Right? So when Imam Ali became the Khalifa, everyone was with him. When he didn't have anything, no one was there with him. So now, to us, when we looked at that leader who came and revived Islam in our time, we saw a lot of people say a lot of things about him. Now we see many people, and everyone says, oh, we are with Khomeini. You see that? We are with Khomeini.
That's right.
My friend, understand this. How many times history has to repeat itself before we learn who the hypocrites are and who the believers are? How many times did history have to repeat itself? In the time of Imam Ali, you see the same thing happen. And those same hypocrites now were saying that we are with Ali all the way. Yes. Yes, and you make sure he knows that. So we get in his good books. Right? And now Imam Khomeini, he's the ruler. Ayatollah Khomeini is the ruler. So when he's the ruler, so now all the Shias are like, okay, now if we say something about him, all the work is done there. The house is there, the books are from there. If I need a book, I need to go to Iran. So I need them. So don't say anything. There are those people who are not saying anything because they need Iran. Right? They needed us. Now we need to understand, my friends, just like that. Over here also. Right? In our small little movement in America. It is going to be the same thing. Those who are with you right now are with you. Those who are saying all kinds of things about you are saying those things. But know that when that time will come, when the success as is promised by Allah is going to come. Yeah, all those people will say, oh yeah, you know what? We are with them.
That's right.
We are with them. You know what happened then? Right? Again, what are you going to do? We have to follow Imam Ali, you know? We have to follow Imam Ali. We have to say that, alright, whatever. Whatever. Your position will be known in the hereafter. You will be known in the hereafter. You know, we can't do anything to you right now. Our Imam didn't do it, so we're not going to do it. Right? We're not going to do it. Just like that, my friends, Imam Khomeini, you know, was the reviver of Islam, who revived it for us. Today, we are appreciative of him and his wife because we learned this lesson from Ahlul Bayt. Right? That whoever teaches you, Imam Ali says, yeah, Man allama harfan aqad abadani alfan. He said, whoever teaches me a word has made me a slave for life. Whoever has taught me guidance, he has made me a servant and slave for life. Because he has opened the door for everlasting happiness for me. He opened that door. And hence, we appreciate those who have taught us and have opened that door for us. Right? No matter where they are, no matter what level they teach us at. This is something that we need to do. Inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His times. Peace to the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. Please recite a surah Fatiha for the wife of Imam Khomeini, Hatija Saqafi.